Before we delve into the word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the one who reigns over all. You are the wonderful champion, the glorious majesty. You are the Ancient of Days. You're our creator. Father, as we turn to hear your word expounded to us this evening, may it reside within our souls, within our hearts. May we leave here with a greater love, knowledge, understanding of how magnificent you actually are. In Jesus' name, amen. We've made it to Daniel 7. Most places stop at the end of Daniel 6, but we're in Daniel 7. We've made it through the interpretation of dreams. We've made it through the fiery furnace. We've made it through the lion's den, and we've all come out unscathed. But this week, we're going to look at Daniel, who has a dream. And he has to get it interpreted for him. He doesn't understand it. So an angel interprets the dream for him. In verses 1 to 8, if you remember back to the introduction of this series, you will recall how Daniel is able to describe the four kingdoms, the four empires, for the king as he saw them. He was able to describe what each thing meant on the statue. Now, however, these same empires are being presented to Daniel, but they're being presented to Daniel as beasts, and he doesn't understand what they are. And as we look at the scripture, hopefully you'll get reassurance or confirmation of how scripture can speak of future things. And as they are fulfilled in the passing of time. And we'll read how Daniel saw four beasts come out of the sea and how he describes what he saw. First a lion with eagle's wings and so forth. And this is the representation of Babylon. That had a lion as a prominent feature. The Babylonian symbol was a lion. And it had the wings of an eagle. And this represented Nebuchadnezzar's swiftness in conquests, in battle. In Jeremiah 49, he also describes Nebuchadnezzar as a lion and as an eagle. But we hear of these wings being plucked off. And this lion being able to stand on 2 feet. And it's given the eyes of man, and then it's given the brain of man, which could represent Nebuchadnezzar. Do you remember he was sent into the wilderness as a beast? And this could be the representation of Nebuchadnezzar being restored to his human state, as Daniel saw these in his dream. Now, the second beast is a representation of the Medo-Persian Empire that came after the Babylonian one. And the devour much flesh may indicate that the insatiable appetite this kingdom had to conquer. It was always on the go, always conquering new places, new kingdoms. And the three ribs in its mouth is generally agreed to mean the three separate victories. Now, what these three separate victories are, scholars cannot agree on, but they generally agree that it is three victories that it has had in its mouth, in its ravenous mouth, to gobble up the world. The third beast really fascinates me. This is one of these places in Scripture where it's mentioned earlier, where prophecy takes place. Now, granted, Daniel knew of the Babylonian Empire. Maybe he made it known of the rise of the Medo-Persian Empire. But as I look at the time scale, there is no way that Daniel could have known about this third beast. There's no way that Daniel could have known who this third beast was and what it represented. He may have described to Nebuchadnezzar's dream, but what happens with it, there's no way he could have made this up. See, the third beast represented a leopard or panther. It was a mountainous beast. It was a predatory beast. It was a stalking beast. It was ripping at its prey. As talked about in Hosea and Jeremiah, if you read about Alexander the Great, You will know these are qualities that Alexander the Great brought into battle. These were some of his strategies: to stalk, to hunt, to wear down, to rip away. And it said that, what's said next? It sort of excites me. See, the beast had four heads, and dominion was given to it. What do you know about Alexander the Great? Well, he was young. He died young. He conquered most of the known world. But did you know that when he died, his empire was divided up roughly within the four equal parts? It was divided up between his generals. One of the most famous one would be Ptolemy, who took over Egypt. And then you had the pharaohs, Ptolemy. Daniel wouldn't have known this. There is no way could Daniel have known this. But God was able to predict this through the visions as Daniel wrote them down. These visions may have made little sense to Daniel, but to us they make perfect sense. To us they fit into place. See, when we read the Bible and we come across many prophecies, some of them are understood and fulfilled. Others are not. And it's the prophecies that we know that have not been fulfilled that they grip our imagination. We try to make sense of them. We try to work them out. We try to decipher what they mean. I mean, what sense would the suffering servant in Isaiah make to anybody who read it until Christ? Until Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. Until he was taken down from the cross and buried among the rich in the rich man's tomb. It made no sense to anybody until it happened. Now, don't get me wrong, it's good to try and work these things out. It's good to text your mind and to read about things. But let's look at an example. End times is a school of thought that everybody is trying to work out. End times, there's so many different schools. There's millennials, there's amillennials, there's can't believe it's not millennials. There's all sorts, all trying to work out end times. But yet God has given us some information about what the end times are going to be like, but not all. We just celebrated Easter and the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The same Christ would come again. We know it's prophesied. We know it's going to happen. But many of our inquiring minds try to work out when it's going to happen. In fact, many people in the past have given dates of when it's going to happen. And it hasn't happened. See, we were told we would not know the hour of his return. But even at that, people are saying, well, we mightn't know the hour, but we can try and work out the day. Or even try and work out the week on which he can return. And they go into the Bible and they turn things up and they really go into it. But let's look on, and let's move on to the fourth beast. See, this beast is different from all the others. And as we know today, it represented the Roman Empire. Once again, however, there is no way that Daniel could have known this. There's no way Daniel could have foresaw the Roman Empire. And this is what I want to get into your hearts this evening, folks. God has given evidence through Scripture that prophecies are fulfilled. Prophecies have been fulfilled. And the prophecies that aren't fulfilled will be fulfilled. He has given us evidence in Scripture to prove this. God knows the future. We find this, as mentioned above, in other places in the Bible. But for now, because of these prophecies coming true, you can believe in the words that are written. When Christ says, I shall return, you have evidence to say, well, these things have happened. He shall return. When he says in Revelation that we will dwell with him. You hear me preach this and pray it all the time. Revelation 21. All pain gone. All tears wiped away. Our resurrected body. He has promised this to us. He has given us evidence. I have fulfilled these prophecies. What makes you think I won't fulfill this one? But let's move on to first name, where we move from an earthly prophecy, an earthly setting, and we move into a heavenly one. And this change shows God's transcendence and his superiority. The thrones being set in place, they show that there's going to be a judgment. It's a judgment scene. It's a courtroom scene. The Ancient of Days takes his seat. I love that. The Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days. It just sums up all his glory and all his majesty and all his wisdom. All his purity, all his splendor, all his holiness. The Ancient of Days takes his seat. And 1,000,000 servants come to him. And 10,000 stood before him. And these represent numbers that we just couldn't fathom. And a stream or a river of fire flowed forth. And we'll look at that at a later date. The court sat in judgment. The books were opened. Now this may be a book of evidence to condemn the beast that is about to be put into the fire. Or it may be another book. And once again, we'll look at that at a later date. But in verse 13, Daniel states that he saw one that looks like the Son of Man. And who called themselves the Son of Man? I watched somebody online doing this. And I'm going to ask the same question he did. I'm going to say the same thing. See, when you're in Sunday school and you don't know the answer, what's the first thing you say? Jesus. Who called themselves the Son of Man? Jesus. It wasn't a trick. Jesus constantly called himself the Son of Man. Daniel is writing centuries before that. I see one like the Son of Man. And look what was given to him in verse 14. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. What was Jesus' claim in Matthew 28:18? What did he say? All dominion, all authority of heaven and earth has been given to me. Same thing. And then what did he say? Go and make disciples of all nations. The same thing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So this thing that the Son of Man heard, given to him by the Ancient of Days back in Daniel, is the same thing that Jesus repeats in the Great Commission. And I will be with you to the end of the age. Now this leads us back to the fourth beast. Daniel was perplexed about this fourth beast. The beast that seemed to pose the most danger. It had teeth of iron. It had bronze claws. It stamped things under its feet. It ripped things apart. But if it was only to be viewed as the Roman Empire, an empire that seemed to fall in the West in the 5th century, but yet it remained and still went going until the 15th century in Constantinople in the East. Well, it failed. It was long past. But for this evening's purposes, we're going to look at verse 24. And we're going to, out of this kingdom, ten kingdoms will come, shall arise, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from former ones. If the beast in verse 20, depending on your translation, spoke great things, or spoke boastfully, or spoke pompously, or spoke arrogantly against the Lord. This is now made clear as he makes a progression of attacks towards God. It starts with a verbal attack in verse 25. And it's an act of persecution of the saints. The ESV says, and it shall wear out the saints. But But other translations say something different. Other translations say it shall oppose the saints. It shall oppress, it shall persecute the saints. And when this is written in the Aramaic, the word persecute, translated into Hebrew, means to wipe out. It means to eradicate. It means to destroy all. So this new beast, this new kingdom, which is rising up, is set out to speak against God, to speak boastfully, arrogantly against the Lord, and to wipe out the saints, to wipe out the holy ones of God. That's you. That's me. It's set out to destroy us. The little horn's intention is to eradicate the community of believers, one way or another. Out throughout history, we have seen many, many, many people, many nations, many, many things rise up that want to eradicate the community of believers. They wanted to completely wipe out the Jewish community, and to a certain extent, the Christian one as well. They haven't been allowed to succeed. They have been stopped. They have been prevented. They've been allowed to go so far. They've been allowed to have time and time, but they have not been allowed to succeed. God has stopped them. Many thought this person might have been Genghis Khan. Others thought it might have been Napoleon. Other people thought it would have been Hitler, who rose up, who slaughtered thousands, who slaughtered millions. But it was stopped at a certain point. None of them succeeded. But there's a new kingdom that's going to rise up, one that's different from the others. And if it's different from the others, it's going to use different tactics from the others. It's something that will not be expecting. It's something that's already succeeding. It's going to be a new attack on God and his people and the community of believers. And it's going to be done through the means of attraction. It's going to be done through the means of beauty. Look around the world and see how many are striving for perfection, how many are striving for beauty, how many are going to Turkey to get their hair and their teeth. I've never been to Turkey. You'll know if I have. But why? Where does this vanity come from? See, I don't believe that the Antichrist that's being spoken here, I don't believe, and it's not up for me to say what I believe, it's what Scripture says, that's being spoken here is a beast that has horns and a tail. Because the horns and a tail were only added on in the Middle Ages through festivals when people were used to make mockeries of demons. And so they painted them and described them in these ways. And these horns and these tails stayed. That's where that comes from. Satan doesn't have horns or tails. Satan was known as the morning star. A morning star is making people search for empty fulfillment, empty self-fulfillment, for beauty. And people are being duped into it by the score, by the hundreds. And it's through this it will attempt its final challenge on the community of believers. It'll try to change times and laws. Are we living in a time where laws are trying to be changed? Trying to be changed what? For self-fulfillment. I don't like the way this treats me. I want it this way. The world has already been infected by this. Something out there is whispering in our ears. Don't believe you cannot be deceived. We can. Something out there is whispering in our ears. It's whispering in our children's ears. It's whispering in our grandchildren's ears. You're not good enough. If you do this, you do that. You don't have to obey the word of God. In fact, you can be your own God. And that is what's being preached on platforms around the world by some people. They're preaching to tens of thousands every week, and they're telling them that they are their own mini gods. They're telling them that the Bible tells them they are mini gods, that they can make their own decisions, that they can make their own laws and their own rules. If there's something you don't like about yourself, get an operation. Get an operation if you don't like it. Cut it off. Change it. Put them in. Kill it. You'll feel better if you kill it. Change it. You'll feel better if you get these in or get that off. End it. And these are things that attacks the community of believers. As euthanasia laws are being passed, as abortion are being encouraged, as people are trying their best to change sex, as people are going around the world to get operations to look beautiful. But what is their yardstick? What is the thing that they can compare to that says this is complete beauty and this is what we want to look like? Well, we have something. It's Christ on a cross, who gave his life, who took the pain. That is our model, who rose again. That is our model. But this other nonsense will be allowed to reign. It'll be allowed to reign for its own time. But hear this. Even though it is allowed to reign, the Ancient of Days, the Ancient of Days takes his seat in judgment. And the Son of Man sits at his right hand. And all these false dominions, all these false kingdoms, all these false empires, and everybody who has bought into it after hearing the truth, knowing the truth, and trying to hide from the truth, it shall all be taken from them. You can't take your beauty to the grave. But you can become beautiful in your eternal life. In conclusion, for those that went before us, they faced opposition and persecution. They faced it from dark empires. For those of us today, we face opposition and persecution, and we face it from dark empires. And for those that come after us, they will face opposition and persecution, and they will face it from darker empires. But once again, hear this and keep this matter in your heart. If you believe in the prophecies of the Bible, then keep this matter in your heart. If you believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then keep this matter in your heart. That not one jot nor one tittle of the Word of God may be changed by anyone or anything, as long as God rules and sits on his throne with the Son of Man at the right hand. Keep that in your heart, that God rules supreme. All things will fall away, but the Word of God will last forever. Let us pray.